Our next scripture is from Mark chapter 4, 26 through 29. Jesus also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come." Let us pray. O Lord, our God, you have promised that what you have started through Jesus Christ, you will finish. So we know that our hope is not in vain. Sow the seed of your word here some more among us today so that it can bring forth life, be fruitful in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're just a week away from celebrating our church's 60th anniversary. And earlier this week, I pulled out my anniversary committee file and browsed through some of the papers in that. One of them was a chronological list of all the pastors who've served here at Grace Baptist Church. From the first one, Eugene Brotherton, all the way up to myself and all the others in between. No two of us have been exactly alike. We've each had our unique goals and gifts. We've each had our strengths and weaknesses, but I think we've all had much in common too. In particular, we've all sought to be faithful preachers of God's life-giving word. And with that, we've looked to God to bring forth the results of the word in our lives as pastors and especially in the life of the congregation. And I think that means in part that each pastor of Grace Baptist Church has been a church planter, not in the strict sense of someone whose primary mission is focused on starting new congregations, but in the sense of someone who sows the seed of God's word and then looks to God for the fruitfulness of it. That kind of church planting. Each pastor in our church brought certain skills, experience, and training to the ministry here. But in the end, each of us has been completely dependent in one sense on God, who's really the only one who can bring forth the life, God himself. I like the way that Paul Duke has said of us pastors, we may think of ourselves as religious professionals, but we're just people throwing seeds. So I'm here today to throw some more seed, as we do each week when we gather together here. In fact, one of the reasons that I'm able to sow some more seed this morning is because of all the other seed sowers who've come before me here in this pulpit. And not only them, but all the people who've been part of the life and mission of Grace Baptist Church across these six decades as we approach our church anniversary. Let's remember that many people have prayed and worked and sacrificed and served in the name of Jesus Christ to help shape our congregation into what it is today, and we're still benefiting, I think, from the harvest of their labor in all kinds of ways. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. That's the way Jesus begins our text from Mark's gospel today. It only takes him four verses to tell this story, to narrate this episode in no time at all. The man in this story has gone from sowing to harvesting. I think it's maybe like one of those time-lapse videos where you see the profile of the dirt And within about 30 seconds, that seed under the dirt has cracked open and moved its way upward and eventually brings forth a full-grown plant in a time-lapse video of about 30 seconds, maybe. That's about probably how long it took Jesus to tell this parable. Maybe the parable is like the seed itself. It's small, but it's potent. It may not take up much space, but it has a lot of power and capacity and life in it. It's capable of great things. And I think that's certainly where Jesus puts the accent, because the way Jesus tells the story, the man in the story, he sort of steps onto the stage, does his part, and then goes off. And from there, the spotlight shifts to the seed itself. That's because the seed has a life of its own. It doesn't really matter, Jesus says, whether this man is sound asleep or up and about. There's something going on down there in the dirt because the seed has a life of its own in that fertile soil. Something is underway. It doesn't matter whether the sun is out or the stars are shining. That's where the power and the capacity is, there in that seed in the soil. Jesus says, that's what God's reign, God's kingdom is like. The reign of God that operates and grows in often hidden and mysterious ways. But one thing is crystal clear according to the story, namely that the kingdom of God, the reign of God, isn't the result of human efforts, isn't the result of my effort or your effort. Notice it in the parable, the man who scatters the seed doesn't know how it sprouts and grows. He can't fathom that process. It's beyond his comprehension, and it's certainly beyond his control, too. How does Jesus put it? All by itself, the soil produces grain. All by itself, the soil produces grain. So the power and the potential are in the seed, not in the sower in this story. This is a parable, I think, that warns us against thinking that in and of ourselves we can slowly and surely and patiently build the kingdom of God, that we by our own hard work and determination can somehow usher in the reign of God's righteousness, that we just have enough willingness and vision and cooperation can make the life of the world to come a reality here in this present world. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that we're here to be completely passive, to just sit back and do nothing and wait for God to bring the harvest. That's not really the message of Jesus here. There's still room for our part in the process. Somebody still needs to sow. Somebody still needs to weed and water. Somebody still needs to cultivate. Somebody still needs to help reap the harvest, but there wouldn't even be a harvest to reap, we're told, apart from the saving power of God present in Jesus. The salvation is of God. The power is of God. The whole process from invisible beginnings there in the dirt to guaranteed harvest, it's God's doing. This is what the kingdom of God is like, says Jesus. Now, though he wasn't a farmer, Paul did his share of seed sowing in the life of congregations that he started and helped cultivate and nurture. He knew the true source of life and reminded the believers in Corinth. I planted the seed, he says. Apollos watered, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Now that's a humbling and I think at the same time liberating message for 60 years worth of pastors and parishioners in a church. Humbling because it warns us, I think, against an inflated sense of self-importance, and liberating because it sets us free. It sets us free to do our part in God's work without thinking that it's up to us to usher in the reign of God. So it's a humbling message and it's a liberating message. There's one theologian who once exhorted pastors this way, I beg you, do not look upon this parish as a stepping stone, but rather say, here I shall stay as long as it pleases God, if it be his will until I die. look upon every child, every member of the congregation, as if you will have to give account for every soul on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day, commit all these human souls from the worst and the weakest of hands, namely your own, into the best and strongest of hands. Then you'll be able to carry on your ministry not only with care, but also with joy overflowing and joyful hope. I think that's sound guidance, not just for pastors, but for folks in congregations too, because it helps remind us that as we in our Christian ministry focus not as much on our weak hands, but the strong hands of God, we can live out of and minister out of and operate out of God's capacity, not our own capacity, not my capacity as pastor or your capacity, but God's capacity. God alone, we're told, gives the growth. Which is another way of saying that we believe in grace. We believe in grace. Grace, Baptist Church. Grace. Maybe in that respect, we're still growing into our name and learning more of what it means and how to live it out as a church. I think part of what it means is that this congregation is a gift of God. It's not something that we've done on our own. In one respect, like another person has put it, it's a miracle. And we're just blessed to be caretakers of something that only God can create. Caretakers of a miracle. And now, this miracle called Grace Baptist Church is almost 60 years old. So we're still growing into what our name means. We're still reaping the harvest from seed that was sown a long time ago. We're still in the process of sowing new seed in our own day and time in different kinds of ways. And with that scattering of seed comes what? Waiting. Waiting. In fact, a lot of who we are and what we do as a congregation is a matter of sowing and waiting. Sowing and waiting. We spend a lot of our time as a congregation in between sowing and harvesting. So individually and together, we keep on scattering the seed of the gospel in our lives. We keep on scattering the seed of the gospel in word and deed. We keep on offering ourselves in service to God and to one another. We keep on worshiping and working and witnessing faithfully, trying our best to be obedient to the reign of Christ. We keep on putting forth the time and the effort to cultivate the life and mission of our congregation. In all of these kinds of ways, we are basically seed sowers. We're like that guy said of us pastors at the beginning. We may think of ourselves as religious professionals, but bottom line, we're just people throwing seeds, scattering seeds. And seed sowers who sometimes get weary or grow tired, or seed sowers who maybe sometimes begin to wonder, is it all really worth it? Will the harvest really come? But we have a promise, don't we? We have the Lord's promise that what he started, he'll bring to completion. And he's shown us that through Jesus Christ. So as Paul says, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And lots of times that not losing heart takes the form of continuing to sow and tend and cultivate in faith. That's a lot of what the waiting and the not growing weary looks like. There's an author named Eugene Peterson who's written, "The person who looks for quick results in the seed planting of well-doing will be disappointed. If I want potatoes for dinner tomorrow, it will do me little good to plant them in my garden tonight." There are long stretches of darkness and invisibility and silence that separate planting and reaping. During the stretches of waiting, there is cultivating and weeding and nurturing and planting still other seeds. So as we wait for the coming of Christ and the arrival in its fullness of God's kingdom, we live basically an agricultural kind of life. Now, most of you may not be involved in farming in one way or another, but you are church planters, not in the strict sense of starting new congregations, but people who are following Jesus, and as part of your following of Jesus, are scattering seed, the seed of the kingdom, a seed of the way of God's reign in the world. You're church planters in different kinds of ways, and you go forth planting, not just here among us, but beyond us and into the world. You go forth scattering seed because you trust in God's promise of a final harvest, of a reaping of what's been sown and grown. Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, is a television series in which Jane Seymour plays an early frontier doctor. And in one of those episodes, she's out walking with a lady named Dorothy who's learned that she's got breast cancer and isn't sure really if she has much time to live. While they're out walking, they pass through a clearing where lots of the townspeople are having a picnic, and a boy named Brian comes running up to Dorothy and says, "Hey, Miss Dorothy, look what I found. Acorns." Brian continues, "Sully says if I plant one, it'll grow to be as big as that oak." Dorothy says, "None of us will live to get to see that big. That tree's 100 years old. 100 years old. And Billy says, "Oh." So dejected, he puts the acorn back in his pocket and he walks back over to where the townspeople have gathered. He goes over to the blanket where his family is sharing in the day's event, and he says to his mother, Dr. Quinn, "Dorothy says there's no use in planting it. We won't live to get to see it when it's 100 years old. We won't live to get to see it that big." So Dorothy takes an acorn from him and says, "Brian, you must plant it. If you plant it this time next year, it'll be up further than your knees. And then the year after that, it'll be taller than you are. And then when you start courting, you can bring your young lady over here to this spot and show her what you planted. And then when you have children of your own, maybe they can build a treehouse in it. And then when you have grandchildren, you can bring them out here and show them what you planted and what's become of it. When that tree gets to be 100, she says, "it doesn't matter that you're not here to see it." She places the acorn back in his hand and says, "What matters is today. You have 100 years in your hand. 100 years in your hand." Now, I don't know whether the folks who first planted this congregation called Grace Baptist Church knew or imagined that they had 60 years or more in their hands. Over these 6 decades, a lot of the good fruit of God's reign has come forth, and there's a lot more to come. Some of that harvest will be short term. Some of it will be long term. And in many ways, you and I may not even be around here to see it or be alive to see it in that way. But we're still sent, as our scripture and Jesus parable tells us here today. We're still sent to scatter the seed of the gospel here and now, trusting in the power of God, trusting in the promises of God, trusting that God's reign will come and that he'll bring a harvest. Let's pray. O Lord of the harvest, Your kingdom is your doing, not our own. We acknowledge that. We ask you to look upon us with mercy for those times and ways when we think it's all up to us to build your reign and your kingdom. We know it's your power and your capacity that make it happen. And we're grateful that by your grace in Jesus Christ, we can be included in it and do our part in it. So especially when we grow weary in well-doing, or when we wonder whether it's all worth it, enable us to persevere and keep sowing seed in word and deed, with confidence not in our strength and capacity or our hands, but your strength and your capacity and your mighty hands to fulfill what you've begun through Jesus Christ. We give you praise and thanks for what you have done in the life of this church, what you are doing, and what you will do. Give us the faith to be diligent seed sowers of your gospel in whatever ways you call us and send us to be. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.